please be a five-star ride?
Hey! Uber?
Yeah. Be cool, be nice.
I'm Stu. How do you do?
Compton. I'm LAPD. Let's go.
Or do you have a more specific address?
Compton!
Stop yelling, neighborhoods. That's not how Uber works.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by Lending Club and Calm, the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sunny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. I'd like to remind you, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Just like on our podcast and search for Subbeacon, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. In fact, we had a little Stitcher glitch. One of our listeners pointed it out, and then Stitcher responded, and I think everything is back up and running.
You can count on the Stitcher listeners when Stitcher goes down.
All three of them.
What's going on with Stitcher?
It's that one listener who chimed in, and then Richard and Liz Starr.
But they listen on really Stitcher. Care.
They really
but
care.
They really care.
Because they don't want to use the Apple podcast. That's bad.
Not giving another dime to that guy. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
Happy Prime Day, boys.
Happy Prime Day. That's
blessed
right.
Prime Day.
Blessed
happy Prime,
Prime
Day.
Day.
Which yeah. What we settled on this last year, and I no longer remember.
I say happy holidays.
Yes, you would.
Happy Christmas. Happy Prime Day.
We say
happy
Prime Day.
How
in this
was
house.
Your Prime Day, Victorino?
It was fairly productive. Got a few things.
Yeah. What did you get?
I got two books.
You read them?
Yeah, one of them, yes, and one of them is a gift. So the one for myself is just William Safire's updated political
history.
I love to get my book on discount, you know, just get those numbers up, you know, got to keep it, you know, so that you don't want it to like,
look what's a hot,
right. Ooh,
and in the hot 100 on history of distilled spirits.
History in the category of distilled spirits, clear, Russian based.
Distilled spirits, yeah, arrow,
you are
clear.
Number
top
115.
Five. Yeah, 115 for that. You know, it's never too late to get that buck in Russia. Vodka is also a great drink in the summer. So I got two books. One of them was William Safire's Political Dictionary, which is endless fun. And the other one is a gift.
Did you use the Prime Books 19 code? There was some code that if you spent $25 or more on hardcover books or paperback books, actual physical codices,
yes.
As opposed to like digital, I think.
No.
So if you do that and you put the code in, then Jeff Bezos would nuke from orbit a Barnes & Noble outlet?
No, you just get, you save a little more money.
Oh.
You just save a little more cash.
And
that code is Barnes & Noble XXX.
We love Barnes & Nobles here at the Beacon. The other thing I got were golf balls. Because I lost all my balls.
Did you get a great Prime Day deal on them?
I did for the last generation of Titleist Pro V1 X. Because I lost all my balls when I had that, when I played with our friend Dan.
Oh,
I didn't tell him. I lost them. I just said, oh, no, I got mine. I'm good.
It's okay. I'm just hitting $10 into the woods every
yeah,
hole.
Yeah, no, I like mine in the water.
Ball
yeah.
of choice.
Whatever.
Or are you one
no,
of the
no,
guys
no.
who's just
would,
like, yeah, whatever's on
say,
sale?
I would say I'm the exact opposite. There are more. It's easier for me to say the balls I would not use, right? So noodle, you know, every now and then you're desperate and you'll find one and it's like a noodle. I'm like, I guess I'll use it. So I've used ladies' balls, you know, just like, you know, they're like different weights, you know, and you look confused. And then
women can have balls.
What?
Women can have
yes,
balls.
I know, but they're different, apparently. So, and then Cobra, you know, whatever. But other than that, no, I love Callaway, and Titleist is fine.
How much
Callaway's
does
really,
ball
really
technology
good.
Change year to year in golf?
Well, they convince me that it changes all the time, which is why I have to get the new one.
Well, the pro
distance
one...
or control. Yeah. Well, can I have both? No, nope, you must choose. It's true. That's
also
true.
I have neither of those off the club, so it doesn't matter. No, I
blame
pro
the ball. I always
blame
the ball.
Pro V1s have been like top of the line basically for the last 20 years. I feel like. I mean, like they probably change what is actually inside them a little bit, but I feel like that's been the number one ball for a long time.
That's right.
Sonny. Was there anything else? Oh. Did you?
No, that was it. Books and balls. Books and balls. How about you, Sonny?
The only thing I got from Amazon for Prime Day, for blessed Prime Day, was there was some baby proofing stuff that I needed anyway, and I waited 2 days to get it during the Prime Day sale because I got an extra 1% back on my Amazon Visa card.
So an extra 1% back. Now, did you buy outlet covers? Because those outlet covers can sometimes cost as much as $3.62.
No, it was like the foam stuff for the edge of tables. It's like a $20 pack. I've bought three of them.
So an extra 1% back.
So an extra 1% back is, I believe, 20 cents.
I
saved an extra 20
cents.
You
endangered the lives of your children for 2 days in order to get that 20 cents back.
It's not like I was going to put it up right away. I still have it.
Of compound interest.
I got the foam padding like 2 days ago. I still haven't put it up yet. So it's
30 years wisely invested. That 20 cents could be 32 cents.
Easily. No, it's funny. I actually, we just mentioned Barnes & Noble. I actually... have spent more money in Barnes and Nobles recently because the Criterion sale is going on. The Criterion collection, the 50% off Criterion collection, and I just, you know, every once in a while I'm like, I have enough Criterion. Somebody asked me on Twitter, they're like, how many Criterion discs do you have? I was like, I don't know, like 40 maybe.
All of them. Well, they used to be numbered.
And then they're still numbered. Some
so
are retired, some are.
This is
no,
like
I don't,
sunny
I don't have
version
a, no.
of those little green.
Hold on.
And
we'll
red
get we'll get to we'll get
books.
To we'll get
you
to
You know the Greek books.
Yeah. I have some of those too. Don't worry. But I'll get to my sorting in a minute, but this person asked like, "Oh, how many do you have?" I was like, "I don't know, like 40 probably." And then I went and counted them. It's actually 80. It's just double that.
Wow.
Do you arrange them by number?
So, no, I don't arrange them by number. I arrange them alpha by title, except for the ones that are grouped by director, which my DVD shelves. So as you remember, I tore down the favela and gentrified it.
Yes.
And in the gentrified favela, the section of
the low rent DVDs had to move out because they couldn't afford the taxes.
The section of the space dedicated to films is now organized thusly. At the top, we've discussed this before. At the top, you have the directors, the auteurs, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. The pantheon. You literally have a pantheon.
Literally have a pantheon. The top two shelves, top two and a half shelves are the pantheon.
Like Kubrick, Scorsese.
Right.
Jay Roach.
Snyder. Floyd. Yeah. Jay Roach.
Yes.
And then is the Criterion movies, which are alpha by title. Alpha by title. And then after that, it is all the rest of the DVDs, which are alpha by title again. And then at the bottom shelf where the kids can reach is the animated children's.
Yes.
So not animated children's, not like Akira. That's
No.
That's way up higher. Mm-hmm. But like animated children.
I have two questions.
Sure.
Alita.
Sorry. The first question is, do you commingle? Are the Criterion discs separate from everybody else as a category, or
no.
are the Criterion Great Directors
so
up
the Criterion,
on the Pantheon
the Criterion
shelf?
Great Directors go with the Pantheon. So I have like three or four Kubrick Criterion discs. Those are up there. I have there's the Christopher Nolan The Following is what it's called. That Blu-ray disc. Last Temptation of Jesus Christ, et cetera. So like those movies are all up there in the Pantheon.
Okay. Question the second.
Yes.
How far away are you from your lovely wife instituting a one in, one out policy on your collection?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
I imagine that will never happen because I won't allow it to happen. That's not going to...
Library of Alexandria.
No. I would say that, I mean, so that only really becomes an issue once you run out of shelf space. And I have not run out of shelf space yet.
Okay, so you are, and that is so far away on the horizon.
I'm good to go.
Keep going. And you could always just take them all out of the jewel cases and just put them in sleeves and binders.
Yes.
Because that would be just as satisfying, right?
I did that with my CDs that I haven't looked at in like 5 years now because they're in a binder. They're in a binder. And I have like Amazon Music, so I've re-downloaded everything onto my phone. Because I got rid of iTunes finally. Thank God. The death of iTunes has made me so happy. Wow. I just got rid of it off my phone. It's gone.
Sonny, JVL, sorry. How are you? How did you do? How did you make out Prime Day?
Prime Day. I bought only two things. I bought a bunch of string for my string trimmer.
Is that like a weed whacker?
Yes.
Is weed whacker the brand name, like Band Aid?
So I believe that. I could be wrong about this, but I believe that Weed Whacker is the Black and Decker branded name for a tool, which is in fact known as a string trimmer. For all I know, the Weed Whacker was the first string trimmer because they didn't used to exist. I mean, it used to be that an edger had an actual spinning metal blade. I don't know if you guys as kids had to mow your lawn and do the edging, but you know, the edger was this upright thing.
Never used the edger until I got my.
We mowed. I mean, I mowed the yard, but we had a weed whacker.
Right. Like because you are younger. Lines. Because you are younger than I am. Yeah. Because
I'm less close to death.
Less close to, well.
Possibly. Who
maybe.
Knows? I don't know. I put my face in that face app and it was just a skull that came back. It was like 10 years from now. Wow. It's all right. What do you know? Phone.
Yeah. So you got that.
I got the weed whacker string and I got a canopy. A big, big canopy. Oh. A Euromax, which is really the Cadillac of the of the pop-up canopies.
Question. Funny. Yeah. Is this like one of the ones that you attach to the side of your house? Or is it like a tent?
No, that is a sunsetter awning, of which I have one attached to the back of my house, installed by the previous owner, not by me. And
does it actually work?
Brilliantly.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not.
No, it's not sarcasm at
all. It's great. You love it.
So this canopy is independent.
This is just a pop-up, right? The accordion style 10x10 is a pop-up because we are, I guess, having people over to my house this weekend. I try not to, when my wife plans these things,
it's like a major canopy. This is like a real, like you could have like...
You're going to have a maypole dance under it?
We're going to have a midsummer party.
Midsummer.
A midsummer party.
We can talk about midsummer in a bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was fine. I can tell you guys about the travel tournament for baseball and the outtakes, which is what I actually did with my weekend when we were on Prime Day.
Is this the sad story that I saw you tweeting about? I don't want to hear the sad story.
You didn't see me tweeting about anything.
Maybe it was Shannon. Yeah. I don't want to hear about the sad story.
So I would like to talk at some point, though.
Yeah, go for it.
About the red letter media preview predictions trailer for The Last Skywalker.
Sure. Oh yeah, well,
The Rise of the Skywalker.
Go for it.
What is the sky? What is the name of this horrible movie that we're all going to have to see?
I don't know.
Prince of the Skywalker.
The real Last Jedi.
Yeah, the final Skywalker.
Rise of the Skywalkers. I don't know. Is that
so? Matt Continetti sent to the three of us, and only two of us received it. Via electronic mail,
yes.
A link to the Red Letter Media guys doing predictions on the
Red Letter Media is a YouTube show.
Thank you, basically.
I know a lot of you listen to or watch it, but it's a YouTube show of people who do movie reviews and fun prediction type videos.
Yes, and they did
The
Rise of Skywalker, a very deep dive using everything we know now from Vanity Fair articles and the teaser trailers. And trying to predict what is happening in the coming Star Wars movie. And Mike from Red Letter Media has a theory.
It's a good theory.
Time travel.
Like pulling an Avengers Endgame.
This is the Infinity War where the...
To fix everything Ryan Johnson did.
The theory here is that Ryan Johnson broke this universe so thoroughly that there's nothing to do but go back in time.
Because there is nothing forward.
And start over again, basically.
There is nothing ahead of us. And so the only way to do it is to establish, the way J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek, a sort of prime timeline, no relation to Lord Bezos, where they go back in time, change things around, and then just kind of like do Star Wars-y stuff all over. The Knights of the Old Republic, the Clone Wars.
And fix
all over again. Because if once you go back in time, you can have Yoda, you can have Chewbacca, you can have all these characters that people actually like.
So here's, I have my big critique of this theory, which I find modestly convincing, frankly, is that you don't actually need time travel to bring those characters back. They're already brought back as Force ghosts all the time. Mm-hmm. There's no, you don't actually have to have somebody go back in time and hang out with Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker can just be a Force ghost and hang out with you. You don't have to go back in time to find Palpatine and the source of his power or whatever. Palpatine could just be a spirit in the destroyed ruins of the Death Star, like, say, the Dark Cave on whatever, Yoda's planet, Dagobah. You know, I'm like modestly skeptical that they need to go back in time to bring these people back. You don't actually need that trick.
Plus, but other species and robots can live forever.
But I also do find it mildly convincing because J.J. Abrams, from the key shot to that teaser trailer was putting the Kylo Ren mask back together, I thought. Yep. And the prominent placement of it, not just that Kylo Ren has a mask again, but that he's literally putting it back together.
He's not just getting a new one. No. Struck no, he's me not as, picking up one me, of his spares.
Struck me as J.J. Abrams very explicitly saying, Ryan, you messed up. You took away the one thing that I spent like 6 months working on. Mm-hmm. You know, nine
great
months,
design.
1,500 designs, mm-hmm. 7,000 mm-hmm. artists mm-hmm. working on this helmet, mm-hmm. and you destroyed mm-hmm. it in the first 10 minutes of your dumb movie that sucked and everyone hated. So I'm bringing it back. So I could see him doing a timeline reset of sorts. I could see it happening.
Let me go you one better about the Force Ghost theory. What if there is a planet somewhere where there's some sort of super special organic matter that when a Force Ghost appears there and they use the power of the Force, they just assemble a new body. And they can just become a real person again because the Force can do anything. And also, no one's ever really gone.
No one's ever really gone.
As the Emperor said. By the way, Mike's Emperor voice. Did you see at the end of the Red Letter Media thing, Mike from Red Letter Media starts doing things as Palpatine. And it is amazing.
Oh, I think I turned it off.
Ian McDermott.
Oh, my gosh. And he's like using the upper lip. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
You know what I find amazing is Ian McDermott as Palpatine, you know, and he's old now, and when he did the episodes 1, 2, 3, and then of course he was doing Return of the Jedi. So how old was he when he did Return of the Jedi?
15. 40?
15. 15, right? Because I mean, really? Wow.
And it was okay. Was it, yeah. Did Ian McDermott also do Empire Strikes Back, or was that a different actor? And then they like digitally,
I think,
put
they
his
changed
face
it because, you know, when you see it now, yeah, it's like a giant head.
Right. When you see it now, it's definitely Ian McDermott. Yeah. But in the original,
no
I
one knows. Remember.
And of course,
we're not allowed to have the originals
anymore. Again, they've been locked away forever.
The dialogue has changed.
It's I'm pretty convinced by this. The circular radar dish that we see in the teaser trailer on top of the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Wait.
Where'd the other, the rectangular radar dish go?
And it's like the only sort of frontier they haven't broken yet.
Why not do it? Here's a question for
it's
you.
A great fix.
If it turns out that Rian Johnson did this on purpose.
Did what on purpose?
Oh,
did this wow. this
if,
being what?
This being
make a terrible movie.
Breaking Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And so that itself becomes a sort of performance art piece. I am the guy who's the indie darling.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I went inside the system in the belly of the beast to the quintessential franchise movie. I convinced them to give it to me, and then I broke it. Is that not actually the greatest artistic accomplishment in the history of Hollywood?
I don't think so, because it's an act of vandalism, right? It's not actual. It's not actually.
No, it's a statement. It's an act of vandalism if it's done by some crank.
It's the problem. The problem is, so what's interesting about this is that it was clearly what Kathleen Kennedy and the rest of the Disney people wanted him to do.
Because, or at least they, what if he they, convinced them
if they hadn't wanted him to do. If they hadn't wanted him to do that, they would have taken him off the movie like they did with Solo and Lord and Miller, and like they did with Rogue One with what's his name, Gareth Edwards. They pulled him off and they brought in the script doctor to finish it up and reshoot it and everything. So the only reason I can't agree with this is because this is fully a Lucasfilm endorsed effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
I see your point.
Like, he's good at managing up.
Right. You know, and the other thing is, if you ever look
Tony Gilroy, that's who I was
Tony Gilroy. Yeah. No, but if you ever look at, for example, The Last Jedi, the deleted scenes, Ewoks, he had Ewoks in there. Jar Jar Binks.
True. Anybody can
Jar
make a
Jar
bad
Binks
movie.
Was in the deleted scenes.
But the possibility that Rian Johnson meant this as an intentional act of artistic sabotage.
But I don't think I think what he was trying to do was a noble thing in its own way, which is to take the world of Star Wars and get it beyond the Skywalker family death struggle. Which, for me, that's the stuff that really works in this, right? The stuff that works in that movie, we've talked about this a dozen times, but the stuff for me that worked in that movie is the stuff between Rey and Kylo, and the idea that she is actually from nothing, that she is just a random person who is out there and trying to make it work with all this force stuff. Mm-hmm. I like all of that. I think it's the right thing to do. The problem with the movie isn't that. The problem with the movie is all the stuff with the casino planet. It's all the stuff with Admiral Holdo. All of the mythology stuff is actually good and interesting, in my opinion. I know a lot of people disagree that, like, oh, they've destroyed the character of Luke. They've made him a simpering baby. He doesn't care about anything anymore. That's not the Luke I know. But, like, I thought that was all really good. If I were Luke Skywalker and my life's work involved the creation of Kylo Ren, who then kills all of my other students, I would be a hermit too. I would just give up. Just give up and go away. But I get not liking that. Anyway, the I thought all that stuff was very good. The real problem with that movie was everything else. Everything else.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Well, we sort of...
Did I blow up your transition?
Yeah, I...
Transition.
But you know, it's interesting because, you know, I like Rey, and she never wanted to leave home. But of course, now she's far from home. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Spider-Man Far From Home stuck to the top of the box office with $45 million, followed by Toy Story 4 with $20 million, and in third place, Crawl with $12 million. Crawl. Box office thoughts. Did Avengers finally win and become the all-time... It was very close.
It has not quite yet. I think it's still like it's, 10 or 12 million.
They
got to
do
away.
A re-release on something.
Well, they've already done a re-release.
They got to do re-release of the re-release. The they just got to get it over the hump.
The trick is they're just going to...
just buy tickets and give them away.
They should do
just
that.
Just make it happen.
No, the problem is that whenever the new Avatar movie comes out, I assume they're going to re-release Avatar. The film that inspired you... Yeah. To get the unobtainium the first time. Go back in theaters now. Oh. Avatar, now in IMAX 3D.
That was really good. I should do that.
And so when that happens, that movie will make $10 or $20 million, and then it'll get back over the into first place. I don't know. Spider-Man Far From Home only dropped 51% over the three-day weekend. It's pretty good, pretty solid hold. Toy Story 4 is on track for $400 million. You know, all that sequelitis. People hate the sequels. They hate them. They just can't go to them anymore. I don't know. JBL, do you have a prediction for, before we get to Stuber, which came in fourth? You did not mention.
That did not make the top three.
Before we get to Stuber, JBL, do you have any predictions for the Lion King box office?
Ooh. I am going to predict... $195 for a 3-day weekend.
Okay. It's a big 3-day weekend.
Yes.
It's a very big 3-day weekend.
Yes. What are your thoughts? We're in a fallow period. We haven't had a good family movie in a month or so. No, I guess not. Well, so Toy Story 4. But there's the cult of the Lion King, which I don't understand, is so strong.
Well, it's a good movie. That's why.
Yeah, no, sure. I guess that what we really plus needed was another animated version of the Lion King, because this is not
it's live action. It's live action, JVL. It's live action.
Those aren't.
They got lions, and they threw them in a prairie in Africa, and they taped them talking.
Well, they sent them to the Stanislaus School of Acting first, right, and taught them how to project to the back row of the theater. And then once the lions and the hyenas had gone through acting school, then they took them to the prairie and taught them their lines.
Beyonce must have skipped that one because she sounds flat. I've seen it, by the way.
Okay.
It's bad. We'll talk about that next week. So
maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe the true real answers will be 90 million and like people will just be like not interested.
That's what I was going to say. What did
Beauty and the Beast do?
165.
So I don't see it doing any worse than 165
in like February.
Yeah, I mean
kids were in school.
I can't see how it possibly grosses less than 165. I think the buzz on this one is off the charts. You have strong
Beauty
support.
Beauty and the Beast had a quadrant this movie doesn't.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Great movie. Oh, what are we talking about? Oh, yes. Okay.
Lion King has a bigger quadrant, though. Lion King has a very strong backing from the African-American community. So I think you could see a Black Panther-style bound. Yeah, totally. This is very big in the Black community.
I did not know that. Yeah.
So I could see it. I could see it getting a Black Panther style bounce at the box office.
So I think what numbers would you boys say?
I think probably my overall prediction is like for the whole run of the film globally is 1.5 to 1.6 billion. That's my official prediction.
Okay.
I think opening weekend 200 million. Wow. I think 190 to 200 million is a safe bet.
Victorino, Price is Right style.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Should
I was
bid
$1.
I was going to say 52. 52 million. But you're right, because I keep on getting these alerts on Variety about, oh, they're going to cast so-and-so in The Little Mermaid. So-and-so is going to play Prince Eric in the...
Who's playing The Little Mermaid?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's the one from...
Karen Gillan?
No. I like her. No, it's the girl. It'll be the girl from Aquaman. Old. It'll be the girl from Aquaman. You know, what's her name? Because she already was.
She's got the hair.
She's got the hair already. So don't change anything. I think that they were watching Aquaman and they saw her, right? The former Mrs.
Depp.
And were like, wait a minute. I got an idea. This could work. And water. She's in the water.
She knows her water.
She knows her way.
She's going to get typecast.
She could obviously hold her breath and deliver lines at the same time.
Yeah, that's very impressive. That's impressive.
Very impressive. So, Sonny, as you were suggesting, number four, it was its first week, too, which is disappointing, obviously.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before we get into work, can we talk about Crawl? And Crawl's $13 million, which seems like an insane amount of money for a movie like that.
Is this another Blumhouse thing?
No, it's not. So it's not horror.
What?
This is like a
schlocky
creature movie.
Oh, right. It has to do with the hurricane.
Late 80s, early 90s.
It's a combination of...
It's like an anaconda.
Right. Yes. Anaconda or Deep Blue Sea.
But it happens in the middle of a hurricane, right?
Yeah, right.
Katrina.
And it did okay business.
It did okay.
For a tiny, low-budget movie.
It did okay. It did, $12 million? Something like
13,
that?
13, I think.
It did $12 million on a $13.5 million budget. So, like that, it'll be fine. I mean, it only averaged $3,800 a screen. It's not like it's, you know, blowing the doors off the multiplexes.
No, but I would say when I looked at that, I thought to myself, huh, here's a $5 million open.
Yeah. They didn't screen it for critics, which is weird because the director, Alexandra Aja, I believe is how you pronounce his name, something like that. Aja, I don't know.
Okay.
Aja. Why do we know him?
Isn't he the guy who did the RoboCop remake?
Yeah, maybe.
Or possibly the Evil Dead remake.
Maybe.
He did one of those. Mm-hmm. Anyway. They didn't screen it for critics. They didn't screen it for critics. So I was expecting it to be terrible. But most of the people I know who have seen it really liked it. So I don't know.
Which brings us to the Stuber.
Yes. We all saw Stuber. Yes.
I saw Stuber.
Sonny?
I saw Stuber.
Did anyone else see it?
No. That's really nothing to say. Sonny, how about a big boy review of Stuber?
Oh, you can't make any puns off Uber, Vic? You can't
done.
Figure out,
it's been done.
You can't figure out how to work some, you know, some Northern Europe?
Due to lack of interest. Okay, go ahead.
I was just trying to figure out how you can make a Nazi joke, frankly. I'm sure we'll get to those. Uber all this.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Stuber. So Stuber is like the... speaking of 1980s, 1990s movie, it is like the definition of a high concept comedy, action comedy. It's about a dorky Uber driver who lives in the friend zone. He has a lady he loves, but isn't into him. And he can't make it work, but he signs up to, you know, start a spin class with her. Blah, blah. That's played by Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Is that? Am I doing? Have I got that? And he, in the course of Ubering, picks up Dave Bautista, a detective named Vic. His name is Vic.
And he's half Filipino.
He's enormous. Just like our Vic.
Just like
I mean, it's like, it was like looking, it was like actually watching a episode of the Sub-Beacon.
Sub-Beacon
brought to life.
Same head shape, by the way.
Guns. Which was amusing. Anyway, so Stu picks up Vic. Vic can't see anything because he has just had eye surgery. He has had the LASIK. And he needs to solve some crimes. So there's the setup for your comedy. You've got the hyper masculine, super aggressive cop. You've got the dweeby, nebbish, gig economy driver, and they have to learn from each other. They have to learn from each other about what it means to be a man.
Do they get into hijinks?
They get into hijinks. They get into so many hijinks. Most of them involve guns because he's a vice cop, or I guess not a vice cop. He's a drug cop. He's a detective trying to take down a drug dealer. Anyway, long story short, they learn lessons from each other. They come together as friends. Blah blah blah. My big complaint with this movie is that for an action comedy, the action is dreadful. The real problem in this movie isn't the comedy. I laughed out loud several times. I thought it was funny. It served the purpose that it was supposed to, which it made me laugh a couple times. I'm not really a laugher in theaters, but you know, it made me laugh. So the problem with this movie is the action. The action part of the action comedy is terrible. It's got the guy from The Raid Redemption in it, who plays the drug dealer. And if you've seen The Raid Redemption and its sequel, you know the style of martial arts that these guys do. It's very fast and kinetic. It's
Indonesian.
But fluid and easy to watch. It makes for great filming if you know how to film it. But the director of this movie instead... I don't know how to describe it. It's the awful... choppily edited, simulating motion by jerking and herking the camera around and editing the action together in a way that is borderline sickening. My eyes hurt looking at the screen while I watched it go down. The action part of the action comedy was very, very disappointing to me. And look, action is hard to film. There's a reason that people shoot at this incompetently. But just hire one of the John Wick guys to come on set and do second unit work for like a week. Just do that. If every movie with action scenes did that, the world of action comedies would be a much, much better place. There's my review.
Thank you, Sonny. We had a review in the Free Beacon. Did you read it by any chance?
You guys have movie reviews now? Who's doing that?
Who did it? Our new reviewer, John Podhoretz. You didn't know that, JVL?
No.
Yes. I get.
That's so awesome.
My treat is I get to.
You
work
get
with
to edit John
you,
now.
Is,
oh, the shoe is on
yes.
the other foot, Mr. Podhoretz.
I would never.
He made you
every week.
And now you edit
every
him.
Week, That's so great. Yes, now I work with him and Joseph Bottom. So it's a weird world that we live in. You know, night is day. Black is not white. Okay, so yes.
What did John think of it?
He loved it. He thought it was he thought it was just right. It was a great buddy cop comedy. What more can you add? I mean, it don't really have that many demands when you see this kind of a movie.
That's the thing. If your expectations are very low, and mine were very low for this, I think it's a totally acceptable time at the theater. I would not make a special visit to go see it. I would not say that this is a thing you got to get out of your house and go see. But it was fine.
And he's really funny. They're both really funny. And that's the thing that John talked about is Dave Bautista is really fun. I mean, he's a great wrestler, but comedic timing. Great, you know, sort of. He was really good about it.
He's the reason the Guardians of the Galaxy movies work. Yes, I think even more than Chris Pratt,
that deadpan way.
And J-Pod singled out his performance in Blade Runner 2049, which I think is actually the performance that makes that whole movie work. He's only in it for like the first 5 minutes of the film. But it is so good. I actually I had him number one on my list of supporting actors. That year, just because it is a great performance that is underappreciated.
And I like Kumail as well. Obviously, he's very funny. There's a part where he has his meltdown and he's trying to remain calm and he says, "I meditate," but of course, it's not working. Yeah. But something does. JVL. Okay, sorry.
Hey, boys, we are back with our sponsor that we love just as much as we love all our other sponsors, but more. Calm.com. That is CALM.com. It is an app for your phone that has meditations and breathing exercises and sleep stories. And we use it in my house literally every day. And it's tremendous. If you have kids, which is primarily what we wind up using it for, Calm is like Benadryl mixed with chloroform. It just knocks them the F out. It's so great. And I discovered, they're constantly updating their library, and I discovered something new the other night when Favorite was up with a fever. So she was up, she was sick, she was like 103, and she couldn't go back to sleep. So she came into bed with me and put her head right here on my heart. Which she owns. And said, "Daddy, could you put something on Calm for me to help me get to sleep?" And so I thumbed it open and I found something new, not a sleep story, but a meditation that they designed specifically for middle of the night wake ups. How great is this? So this is what I put on it. It is read by the great Tamara Levitt, who is absolutely my favorite reader on Calm.com.
Hi, this is Tamara. If you're tuning in to this session, you've likely woken up and are struggling to get back to sleep.
It's wow. Awesome. And it's just, the whole thing is fantastic. Favorite went back to sleep because of Tamara, like she always does. It's just the greatest product, and everybody should have it. So the people at Calm.com will right now give Subbeacon listeners 25% off of a Calm premium subscription. Go to Calm.com/Subbeacon. That's CALM.com/Subbeacon. 40 million people have downloaded Calm. I have probably personally sold 50,000 of those subscriptions. Find out why at Calm.com/Subbeacon today. It's amazing.
Thank you, JVL. So you went to see Stuber.
I did.
Did you see it with a friend?
I did. I went and I brought a priest friend of mine.
How'd that work out?
He's not like a real priest. He's a cool priest.
So he's like Robert De Niro in Sleepers.
That's the second time he played a priest. He was in the other one, which I believe it was We're No Angels, where it was he and Sean Penn pretending to be priests. Huh. Okay, go ahead.
I like you, went in with very low expectations, and they were barely met. I would say it's one of these things where I saw it in the theater during the movie, I was minimally satisfied, and it was short enough that I didn't get really antsy. But even like 24 hours later, I kind of resented having given 90 minutes of my life to this thing. I don't understand how it is a theatrical release and not a Netflix movie. I mean, this thing has all the hallmarks of what should have been a Netflix original. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised at how soft the box office was, because I saw this on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. The theater was packed.
So was mine.
And people laughed their asses off throughout. I was clearly in the minority here, thinking that this was a movie. The movie killed, at least in the audience I was in. Did you guys have the similar
same experience for me?
My theater was pretty empty because I saw it the Thursday night it came out at like 10, so I could talk about it on the Hugh Hewitt show. And it was, but the audience who was there, the people who were there, was actually very into it. They were like lots of laughs, lots of good reactions. So I'm a little bit surprised that this got as low. It only got a B cinema score.
Huh. Well, maybe we just had outlier audiences. Because
must have been.
Victorino, what did you...
Yeah.
I'm very curious as to...
Okay.
I am very curious as to what you thought about this.
I had, like you guys, I had low expectations for this. I was happy to see it's only an hour and 31 minutes or something to that effect. It felt longer than an hour 31 minutes.
It did actually feel a little bit longer than an
hour.
I checked my phone at one point about an hour into it. I was like, God, there's still 30 minutes.
Right, because it's like you think you figured out the plot, but it just seems to drag out. There were definitely, you're right, Sonny, about the action sequences being just blah. But I thought the exchanges were really funny. I really enjoy the back and forth. Dave Bautista, I think, is funny. One of the funniest lines, I thought, from the movie, actually, is when he gets in the car and Kumail looks at him and says, let me guess, you want me to take you to all the Sarah Connors in the city? I thought that was funny.
That was a funny line.
That was a funny line.
I thought Kumail was very funny in this. I thought Dave Bautista was very funny in this. Mm-hmm. I thought they were weirdly unfunny when they were together. I thought their chemistry was actually not great. Not terrible. It didn't. I wasn't like rooting against them, you know, or whatever. But it didn't quite work for me. It was always when one of them was with someone else that I thought the movie was better. Like the scene in the male strip club, where Kumail is talking to the male stripper about his girl problems, and I thought that was actually hilarious to me. That killed.
As the movie opens, when Dave Bautista is in an elevator with his cop partner, played by Karen Gillan, the two of them, their chemistry was so good that I immediately thought to myself, boy, I hope she doesn't die here, because I kind of want to see a Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan cop movie in which they're riding around with Kumail and Johnny.
And I would assume that they have such a good rapport because they've done the two Guardians of the Galaxy movies plus the Avengers movies together. Like they've been together.
But I would have watched that movie, frankly. Yeah. The buddy cop movie with the two of them.
So she died?
She died.
I thought she was just in the hospital. I thought it was unclear. So, I gave it an A-, but now I'm going to have to give it a B+.
I bring this up
only
to...
Did you actually watch the movie? Are we sure that you saw it?
I was hopeful. She got shot in the gut, you know, and I know that. But, you know, I thought, maybe he, you know, she's just out of commission. But you're right, because in the end, they normally do the revisit in the hospital thing, and that did not happen, unfortunately. You know what I
Mira Sorvino says to him, I know you lost a partner. Like, she doesn't mean it. He misplaced her.
I must have not noticed that part. By the way, we have... Didn't Mira Sorvino win an Oscar for a Woody Allen movie?
Impossible to understand why, isn't it?
And here she is. I don't know where she's been all this time. Silence. You know...
She is not good.
Her face looks weird, too, in this movie. So.
That's problematic, Sonny.
Since Mimic. Do you remember? She was in Mimic.
I do remember.
I actually wonder.
I like Mira Sorvino a lot, actually. I like her from those 90s movies. She was in Barcelona, right? The Whit Stillman movie? I thought she was very good in that.
I think so.
My source tells me very high maintenance.
I have assumed there was a terrible profile about her written. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I forget who did it, but Vanity Fair, Esquire, did a profile in which they just destroyed her. It's to such a degree that I couldn't even tell if it was fair or not.
Right.
And my natural sympathy is always with the writer. But I have long wondered if she is not a casualty of the Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Well, this is, I think she is.
Has she been public about this?
I
just missed it.
She's part of Miramax's world.
She was part of that whole world. And I just assumed at her age, that means that he did horrible things to her.
Yeah, I think people.
Maybe that soured her on the industry.
Mira Sorvino was in Barcelona. She was good at it. I have heard things. The thing I have always heard is that she got unfairly labeled as difficult because she did not go along with the Weinstein program, that would make total sense. So I that could be true. I mean, I didn't think she was good in this movie, but I've liked her. I liked her in a lot of the 90s stuff, Romy and Michelle.
Yeah.
And
I just assumed that it soured her on the business.
I also, you know what, you know what I really found endearing was the relationship between Kumail and this friend that he wants to be more than friends with. They're in the friend zone, and he gives her all this money, the whole thing, because that basically reminded me of me and my wife. It was the same situation, and it ends about the same way. It ends the same way.
You know what? So
he tells her like, I was like, wow, I was there. I was there.
Okay. This is one of the things that bothers me about the movie, because Stuber feels like it is a second draft of a movie. I read this somewhere. Somebody made the point. This feels like a second draft of a movie that needed like 8 or 9 drafts. And one of them is the swerve in paying off Stu's love interest with Becca, where it turns out at the end, he actually winds up falling really in love with Natalie Morales, who is Dave Bautista's...
They're not together at all in the movie. They have like one scene together.
They have one scene together. Yeah. He takes a bullet
for her. Name
is
Natalie Morales?
Well, that's the actress's name. Her name is Nicole.
Unrelated to Natalie Morales. So that's funny.
What?
Uh-huh. The other Natalie Morales from the Today Show, Natalie Morales.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, Natalie Morales is a comedic actress who is a national treasure. She's so funny and is not given enough to do in this movie.
Yeah, she was great on Parks and Rec. She was on Parks and Rec for a couple years.
Great in The Grinder. She's great in everything she does. I want like more Natalie Morales because she's so funny. But so this is a classic like movie trope, right? So you're building up the Stu finds himself, and because he finds himself, that's what then allows him to have a healthy relationship with Becca. But instead, he swerves, and which is another movie trope. Like, what they're doing is, like, mixing different rom-com movie tropes here, and it doesn't work, because the truth is he actually does seem to have a real authentic connection to Becca and doesn't have any connection, apparently, with Natalie Morales, who is a sort of much more sensible girl. Like, why would she be interested in a guy like this? And everything about this needed to be ironed out.
That didn't work for me at all either. Though I'm glad they didn't have like 10 minutes of them getting together. Frankly,
That would have dragged it out.
Yeah, do we need this movie to be 105 minutes instead of 90? I don't know.
Yeah. I also wondered what is Uber's involvement when they do movies like this.
So was there? I wondered, sitting in the theater, thinking about why is this movie made? Why is this a theatrical release and not a Netflix original? The only thing I could come up with was that the money for this was only if you're in theaters, and it came from Nissan, with the Leaf, Uber. And maybe Instagram or something. There's a whole bunch of stuff
A lot of product placement.
Yeah. Product, and it's like
that male
internet
strip
economy.
Club?
Whispers or what's it called?
I don't even remember.
The male strip club bit was great.
Yeah,
that was. I keep going on about this.
And
but,
you knew somebody was going to walk in the back of his shot. By the way, you knew that was going to happen.
I wondered if Uber is a participant.
Right.
I must have ponied up a substantial sum
funding
of money.
I was surprised because I just assumed it was going to be a car service, but they're not going to give a name. You know, like in the old days where you couldn't show your bottle of beer in the movie. It was always turned, you know.
This is like in Thank You for Smoking, right? You have an industry where Uber has some problems with public relations. And so how do we fix it? And this is what the Nick Naylor character does in Thank You for Smoking is he goes to Hollywood and meets with the Rob Lowe character,
actually.
And, you know, so how do I, you know, what if we did a movie together? Mm-hmm.
And here Uber is, and they have this lovable driver, and he helps save all of these people.
He's a good driver.
And
he's so put upon.
He's put upon, and it really, really brings home, hey, you got to do 5-star ratings for people. Really got to do 5 stars. Got to do 5 stars. Surge pricing. Like every Uber thing is in it. Uber pool versus
Uber pool. You're in an Uber pool.
So many mentions of...
They ordered Uber SUVs at the end.
Yes, the Uber SUVs. No,
it is like, in a weird way, a tutorial on how to use
Uber.
Put it on your app. And I assume that they would not have been okay with it being just on Netflix, that they needed a theatrical release. Because, as we all know, if you just put your movie on Netflix, it has no cultural impact whatsoever.
Yeah.
Have you?
It might have a cultural impact for like 3 days. Right. You have a 3-day window where people do the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah.
And then enough people realize that that's stupid.
But do you remember the Jon Favreau movie Chef that he directed?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that movie and the prominent use of Twitter. And they're going to go from state to state, city to city. And then they show the sun is tweeting it out. And you see the little birds. And they have the little sound effects throughout the whole movie. I mean, you know, so it's one of those things, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if Twitter... I have no idea if Twitter paid. I feel like Twitter is... I don't know if they pay for anything like this.
Were you guys bothered by the sort of debased culture of reference humor, which makes up half of all of the laughs?
Elaborate.
In this movie?
Such
even the Sarah Connor laugh, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense unless you understand what the Terminator is. The whole shtick about Twitter and tweeting out Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. I mean, actually, Ryan Gosling is a very funny actor and also a competent action movie actor. Like, there's no reason anybody would feel bad about liking Ryan Gosling.
Hey, speaking of Ryan Gosling and action movies, but what was up with J-Pod shot at the nice guys? It's wrong.
I knew that would get you. That would get you.
Sorry, John.
That was directed only at one person, Sonny Bunch. Okay, do you have any other thoughts on buddy cop movies?
Yes,
you have a favorite buddy cop movie?
I want to tell you this.
Go.
The pitch for this movie was clearly, it's Collateral meets Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Right?
Spot on. Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I was actually trying to think of what the elevator pitch for this
that
would
is
be.
The, that the is, elevator pitch perfect. For this yeah. was. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to be crappy.
Do you have a favorite buddy cop movie?
I'd have to think about this, but it almost has to be Lethal Weapon 2.
Thank you. Lethal Weapon 2, starring Patty Kensit. Thank you.
Right? Are you with me?
Remember that?
Lethal Weapon. The original Lethal Weapon is great. Actually, the truth is, in my old age, I have gone backwards and now do prefer the original Lethal Weapon.
I know.
But Lethal Weapon 2
is so good.
Because you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Because the original Lethal Weapon, you don't fully understand that you're in a buddy cop movie until you get a little bit, because it starts out kind of dark.
Yeah, very dark. Yeah, so absolutely.
And Lethal Weapon 2, you just know you're buddy cop.
And
right
Lethal Weapon just goes into a bundle of joy. It's just a ball of kittens there at the end with the
the torture.
The torture and the Mr. Christmas Benjamin. Day fight and the, you know.
No.
Sonny. Lethal Weapon 1 is definitely better than Lethal Weapon 2. Does Die Hard with a Vengeance count as a buddy cop movie?
Yes.
It did according
That's
to the internet.
That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Die Hard 3. Love that movie. I like Die Hard 3 possibly more than Die Hard.
No. Stop there. Okay, just delete.
Crazy.
You know what? You can delete this later.
Not going to delete
it's
okay.
it. Okay. It's 9:30.
Not going to delete it.
Victorino, do you have one? Do you have a ranking?
I do.
Yes.
Okay.
Rank it.
From least to not Stuber's at the bottom, but I would say, but it's still good. Again, I gave Stuber an A-. It's still enjoyable for what it was worth.
A-. Okay. The worst. A-.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. Stop. You are ranking from
6 to 1.
Bottom
no,
to top.
5 to 1.
Is this a top 5?
Yeah.
For you? All time.
All time.
This is your all-time top 5.
Stuber's in your
number
all-time
five.
Top 5.
Stuber's number 6. Okay.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, Stuber. Rush Hour.
Love it.
Good, sure. You know?
Love it.
It gets a little crazy, but okay. 21 Jump Street.
Love it.
Right? Funny.
100%
okay,
love it.
The movie, not the TV show.
The movie. And even 22 is kind of funny. The ending of 22, very hilarious. Go to the end credits.
Where they do the sequels.
The sequels, fantastic. Okay. 48 Hours. That was when you're like, hey, this guy, Eddie Murphy, you know, he's pretty good. We need to put him in more stuff. Which brings me to number 2, Beverly Hills Cop. But here's the interesting thing. Beverly Hills Cop 2, Jonathan, is signaling me too. What?
I kind of preferred Beverly Hills Cop 2 to 1.
Well, 2 has a great villain in the form of Bridget Nielsen and a great song by Michael McDonald, Shakedown.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. All but right, the heat is on. Movie. The heat, Glenn Fry's The Heat Is On is Beverly Hills. But here's the thing. The great buddy cop is it's actually Judge Reinhold and John Ashton. They're the buddy cops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those two
yes.
guys. Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. And then, of course, I said Lethal Weapon 2 starring Patsy Kensit. If you're a fan of hers, you should check out, I believe it's Bitter Harvest.
Did you have
on Vimeo. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Did you have a one movie
it's hard
per,
to find. It's hard to find.
One movie per franchise rule on this?
No.
So
no,
you
no.
prefer Rush Hour to Lethal Weapon?
No, I was going in reverse. Lethal Weapon 2
Lethal
is at the top.
No,
the top.
No, but...
Oh, to the movie Lethal Weapon 2?
But you have, yeah, you, I don't you have feel, Lethal Weapon 2, but not Lethal Weapon.
Right. You know what? I think subconsciously, I said...
You must have had a rule in your head.
I must have had a rule in
only one.
Giant head.
Because otherwise Lethal Weapon, like,
right.
1, 2, 3, and 4
right,
would all be
three,
on this list.
I did not like Lethal Weapon 3.
Question.
Was and it was just... 2 was just the right amount of Joe Pesci, too, by the way.
Was Lethal Weapon 4 the one with Jet Li?
Yes, good. Yeah. And
you and I
saw that
in the theater, and
one of our dates.
Jet Li killed.
Yeah,
in the that audience roared.
They went when he took apart the gun in the stairwell. Yeah.
People went nuts.
Yes, because people had not seen that form of martial arts.
Many of us had not watched
cinema.
The Hong Kong.
Can we just
cinema.
Agree that Jet Li, greater sign Jackie Chan?
Sure.
In what sense? Not as a comedic presence.
Not as an actor comedian, but
not
as
a comedian.
Star?
Just in movies. Just in generally in movies?
As an action star?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Not as a comedian.
My favorite Jet Li role, Ocean's 11.
So here's...
Inappropriate.
My question.
You're lucky you're Filipino.
And part Chinese. I can make that joke.
How could you leave off
people.
The greatest buddy cop comedy of our time, Shanghai Noon?
All right. Yeah.
Because movie...
You like all the sequels to these movies.
Yeah, you do.
Is just... No.
Shanghai Noon.
I don't
Shanghai
think... Is there a sequel to Shanghai Noon?
Shanghai Noon is the original.
Shanghai Noon is...
Shanghai Nights
is garbage. That's right.
Shanghai Noon is really good.
I know which part... The part you love is... the part that I love is when Owen Wilson says, there's something very... About your eyes. There's something very regal. No, it's something regal about your
That
eyes.
Movie kills. But my other question is, could you consider the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movie a buddy cop movie?
With Jude Law and
Robert
Downey
Jr. The original. Because if you can, that is the great buddy cop mm-hmm. movie of our generation.
What about... Well, first off, we're missing The Nice Guys.
Mm-hmm. Which I have to see.
You haven't
I've
seen
never
it?
Seen it. I love this movie.
I haven't seen it either.
You got to see it before next week's show, and you give us a report.
You know what?
Report back
to us. I was going to see it, but I read our review. Now I'm not going to see it.
What about Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Yeah,
I wouldn't count.
You wouldn't count.
Is that noir?
I just
it's too much.
It's
its own thing.
Three people, really. It's three people.
It's too much. Its own thing.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. Well, there goes another transition. I was going to make some reference to Kumail putting all his money in the Spin Cycle place, and then he was in debt. Speaking of which, if you're carrying revolving debt, that means you're not paying off your card every month and could be paying thousands in interest every year that you don't have to. With Lending Club, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to a bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to LendingClub.com, tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow, pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/subbeacon. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/subbeacon. LendingClub.com/subbeacon. All loans made by Web Bank member FDIC, equal housing lender. Corrections, additions, shout-outs.
Instant correction. Alexandra Aja was the director of the Piranhas remake, Piranhas 3D.
Ooh,
that's
wow.
Sorry, that's the remake I had been thinking of.
Did you see it? Because I liked the original Piranhas.
I did not see that. I did not see that.
The funny thing is, in the Piranhas movie, by the way, when the person is getting eaten to death, like there was one where it was like a fat person falling in the pool in the pond, and they have a sound effect of the piranhas, like they're not making noises for real. Fish are not making noises, and it was like, and this makes you crazy. That was the noise. I'm not repeating
that. Makes
it.
You crazy.
That makes you crazy. I just got the nicest note in the mail from listener Tim Lewis. Timothy Lewis. He said after hearing about me and my son watching war movies, he sent over a giant box that arrived to my house, so I don't have it here, but Axis and Allies D-Day Special Edition.
He sent it to your house?
He did. And it looks amazing. Tim said...
When are we playing?
Tell me about it. Tim says...
We should do a live show. Just us playing it. Axis and Allies.
Okay. You can... we all can pick who we want to be.
You know what? Why don't you let us pick first, and then you'll have to be the Germans because they'll be the only ones left.
I got three words for you. Gert von Rundstedt. Okay. Anyway, Tim Lewis says, dudes, chatting is the highlight of my week. So you're, thank you, Tim. Again, I
that's very nice.
That was very, very nice. Okay. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, complaints, tweet us at Victorina Mattis at Sunny Bunch. Are you sure you're not on? I could swear I've seen you a couple times and I think it's you for real.
Not me, but there are plenty of people. The number of people who now have access to my Twitter account credentials is, I think, up to like six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Including children. Children.
Would you guys like it? You can tweet out anything that you've ever wanted to say that's too hot to go out under your own name.
We should
send it out under mine.
We should make that a perk for our Patreon. $1,000 a month, access to the JV Last Twitter account.
How about $10 a month?
We're getting closer to that Patreon account. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon at a podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Long show.
That was a long show. Did you not? Do you want to share or you don't want to share? If not, I have something.
Okay. Yours is probably better.
I don't know. Okay. We'll see.
If it's not, I'll come in.
Sounds good. Okay, we'll I just want to say I finally got to a restaurant I've always been meaning to try because, of course, it's just me and the wife that's been home. And
you never make it to restaurants.
As you know, I don't. A wonderful restaurant called Amuz. It's a Persian restaurant. It's really good.
Many Persian rugs.
Matt Continetti is a fan as well. And it's a lovely place, and if you go to Moby Dick House of Kebab, it's similar. I mean, the food is delicious. But at the end, I said to the person, I said, what are they drinking? There is an Iranian family, and some of them were drinking this drink. I said, what is that? And she says, oh, that is duh. You should try duh. I give you a taste of duh. So I get it looks like a milkshake. It's like the consistency of milk, and it is a yogurt that is both salty and sour. And I wasn't sure at first if I wanted to drink it, but then I took a little sip. I was like, ugh, you kind of gag. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's actually not too bad. Next thing you know, I'm just talking about that duke. And I loved it. I said, what is it? It reminds me of something. What is it? What does that remind me of? And I was thinking of kombucha because it's probiotic. That's what I was thinking.
I'm sure it's fine.